yourself. People in our lives can fail us from time to time, sometimes intentionally, sometimes just because they're human. But Jesus never fails. Amen. It's just whether or not we see that. Well, we're going to take another topical approach through Scripture this morning as we're working on the mind. And I don't know if any of you have ever worked in service industry. Anybody here? We got a few here today. Anybody ever work in some kind of service? Looking at the job before, I see a few here. I think, well, I don't, but I can't see your comment. I'm not looking at those. I have ADD, I think. Well, I don't, but I would be, it would be distracting if I let your comments be up here, but you can let us know online too. There's all kinds of interesting things when you work in service to people. There's different functions to that, different types of jobs that do that. But if you've worked in service, you'll know that a number of dynamics happen. Sometimes a matter of needing to swallow your pride. There's often times that you need to swallow your pride. I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you knew you were right and the customer was wrong, but what is the saying? The customer is always right, and you know that what they're asking for is not reasonable, but you also know that you can't tell them that. Have you ever been in that position where you have the things that you want to be able to say that would explain all things, but you know you can't say all those things? Those of us that are parents, we know we end up in that scenario where you just can't explain it to your child. Sometimes in leadership, you have confidentiality issues that you just have to be the bad guy and not explain. And that's just the way life is sometimes. And it's the same with different people that you encounter. So when you find yourself frustrated with, and I've always been incredibly polite and nice to service people once I worked in service. Because then I feel sympathy for them, and I know that they're just doing their job, and that's the answers they've been taught to give, and that's the information they have, and those kind of things. But we can forget that sometimes. Even if we work in service, we can forget that sometimes there's something going on the other side that we don't know. And as much as I teased doctors last week, and I'm not saying this because no doctor came to me and said you shouldn't say that kind of thing, but I teased about doctors last week. There are many times that doctors can't help you because, like we've been saying, we are holistic beings in that we're not just physical, we're not just mental or emotional, we're not just spiritual. It's all connected and flows together. And so a doctor sometimes can't help you because they don't know all that's going on in your body, maybe stuff that you don't know. Sometimes you know stuff and you're just not telling them. It same works with counseling and therapy. I often cringe when I do counseling because I know that there's a bunch of information that's there that's not being said. Sometimes I can kind of figure it out by paying attention and listening and reading between the lines. But if you've ever gone to counseling and walked away saying, that didn't help at all, you know, that didn't do me any good. Sometimes it's the competency of the therapist. Sometimes it has to do with that you're not giving them enough information. And we have times where we have a compartment in our lives that we want someone to fix without telling them what's happening in the other compartments, whether it's too embarrassing or we just don't think it relates or it's too painful to go into that, or it's just we just want you to fix that box. We don't want you to mess with the other things. But as much as we would love for that to be the reality in the case, it's not. It's not the way God made us. God made us to where everything is connected. In fact, I love the statement, I think it's in Hebrews, that says that the Word of God is able to divide between soul and spirit. Now, there's different theological questions with that, but we see that it takes the mighty power of the Word of God to separate something that's so intertwined. And you and I have parts of us that are so intertwined, and we need to be mindful of those things. And we've walked through a number of principles, like the need to treat the whole person. The body has a need for attention, but only enough to prevent obstacles. We don't need to obsess on it. Our emotions need the right expression, the right kind of expression, as well as guidance. And then there is a trap that is potential within our minds that we have to deal with, and we saw that last week. And this week, we're going to do the second tool that we need to deal with mental stability and things within our mind. And it makes me think of, if you've ever had a dog that had some kind of sickness that you had to give it medicine. I remember growing up, we had dogs, and we had to try to give it medicine. And if you have done this before, you probably know, typical dog, if you try to give the medicine to the dog straight, it spits it out of its mouth. It won't consume it. So then you smother it in some kind of good food, or sit it, you try to situate it right in the middle so that, they won't tell it's there, and it's not at the bottom so they won't sense it, and they'll just consume it. And what happens is the dog goes to town on the food, and you walk away hoping, yes, I think I got him. And then you go to look at the bowl after the dog's done, and there's not a trace of any food except for that little pill is sitting at the bottom of that dish. Oh, it's so frustrating. Have you ever been there before? I could tell by some of the laughter you've been there before. Maybe sometimes our children are the same way when it comes to trying to get them to eat their vegetables. You smother it with cheese or sauce or all kinds of stuff to try to get that vegetable in their mouth. And what do? They suck the sauce right off of it, and they pull the cheese off and eat the cheese, and the vegetable remains on the plate. And you know what's funny is all of us, and it makes me think of that proverb, a dog returns to its vomit, all of us are somewhat similar to those dogs and the children who won't eat those vegetables, in that we might have grown up and gotten older and bigger bodies and jobs and aches and pains and all of those things, and yet we still act like children sometimes, because for whatever reason it is, the things that bring the most health to us, whether it's in our bodies or in our spirits or in our minds and our emotions, are the things we can't get ourselves to do. Think about that. Eating healthy. That takes a lot of work to do that. I mean, I would love to just be able to eat candy all the time and every night eat a bowl of ice cream with all the fixings on it and just be able to eat as much as I want, whenever I want it, sugary, sweet stuff, greasy foods, fatty foods. I mean, that's when you think you're hungry and you want to eat something, that's what you think about. Right? A typical person doesn't think about vegetables, and especially just steamed vegetables and those kind of things. We think the yummy stuff. Same with exercising. Boy, if exercising was easy, everybody would do it, right? But we don't do it, and they say no pain, no gain, because there's pain in exercising. It doesn't feel good, unless those of you who have persevered enough, you've found that it does feel a little bit good doing those exercises, but not till after the pain. We also do that in other areas of life. We do that with our emotions. We leave emotions unchecked and stuffed somewhere, and we don't deal with those. We do that with our relationships. We leave relationships kind of souring and unchecked, and we don't deal with those things. We do the same thing with our thought life, because it's sometimes just easier to let things drift away. It's easier just to pretend that things aren't there than to face the reality of what's happening within our minds. And we know that we're saved by faith through grace, right? We're saved because of the work that Jesus Christ did. And there's nothing that you can do to acquire salvation. It's only by trusting in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, James says in his epistle that faith without works is dead or useless. It doesn't accomplish anything. Now, does that mean that if I do works, then I acquire salvation through my works? No, that's not what that means. Well, what does that mean? That means that if you truly believe the stuff you say you're believing, if you're truly in on, devoted to the person you say is your Lord, then there are things that are just going to happen in your life that you're going to do. And so you will do the works not because they save you, but because that's what you believe in. It's why Paul says in Philippians 2 to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that is because the fruits, the benefits, the gains, the strength of following Jesus come a lot of times in the things you do with the faith that you have. It's not just a matter of just wishing it away and believing in it and then everything just kind of makes itself right. It's often that we have to do work. We have to engage the Holy Spirit. We have to engage the Scripture. We have to do the stuff to actually receive what God has for us. Are we earning it? By no means. We're just doing what he told us to do. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to touch on things because, listen, I understand that all of us have our problems and we face things. Some of them are self-inflicted. And we'll get into that next week when we talk about managing our time, which, did you know there's some godliness in managing your time? There's some kingdom issues with managing your time. And some of us have time issues because we inflict that stuff on ourselves. Same with our finances when we get into talking about our money. Some of us have money issues because it's no fault of our own. Other times we have money issues because it's self-inflicted. It's our own behavior that's caused it. And we'll get into that. And if you're having those issues, maybe I won't tell you when we address those so that you'll come. And hopefully it's not too painful. But nonetheless, sometimes you face trials that are through no fault of your own. And we want to be able to have the mental capacity, stamina, and strength to be able to stare that issue, that problem, that dilemma, that trial in the face and walk right through it and not fall apart. Easier said than done, isn't it? So how do I have the mind that Christ wants me to have and be able to walk the way he wants me to walk through all of those things? Well, the first step of that is having that tool, that microscope of reality that we saw last week, to be able to understand the dynamic that's happening inside of me. The fight is typically inside of you that you're dealing with. But once you wrestle with that and you deal with that, then there are the things that are happening on the outside in the form of actions that we're calling vitamins. There are certain vitamins that you need to be taking in your life, and I don't mean the ones that you swallow. Although, you know, some things are hard to swallow, but I mean that figuratively, that there are actions, there are things that need to be happening in your life if you're going to actually have the mental strength that you so desperately want to have when things are falling apart. What are these vitamins? Well, the first one is Jesus. And you might say, well, what? Are you saying Jesus is a vitamin? Are you saying we eat Jesus? Actually, I'm not saying that. Jesus said that. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And so even though he's speaking figuratively, just like I am, there is this need to be consuming Jesus in order to have this mental stability. In fact, before Paul instructed us in Romans 12, verse 2, to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, he told us before that to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. That in this surrender to Jesus Christ, in this giving over my life to him and just trusting him with all things, it's in that that this renewal of the mind, this strengthening of the mind takes place. In fact, just like I quoted earlier this morning, James says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask who? Let him ask the therapist. Let him ask your PCP. Let him go get a shot. Let him search Google. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him call a prophet. No, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. Romans 8:6 says to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. If you want to have this life and peace, it's a mind that's just consumed with, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you revealing to me? I want you, Jesus, more than anything else. And we have this intimacy with him, and out of that flows this peace and this life and this renewal of the mind. If you want a stable mind, you need Jesus. It is also seen in Colossians, the third chapter, when throughout that, as Paul is talking about this renewal mind again, he will often say, in fact, in verse 1, you can reference that, verse 4, verse 10, verse 15, where Paul talks about this pursuit of Jesus Christ, this being in Christ. If you want to be mentally stable, it starts with being in Jesus Christ. If you want to be able to have the mental capacity to face what you're facing, it starts with being in Jesus. You will always lack and you will always falter and struggle if you're not found to be in Jesus Christ. And you might say, but I know many people who are found in Jesus Christ and they're nuts. They're just, the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. There's something kind of loose there. Have you ever felt that way before? I cringe at the representation that some people give the world because some people claim the name of Jesus so loudly and they're loopy. And while Jesus at times was considered a madman, it was because he was speaking the truth, not because he was loopy. And we want to make sure that we aren't that way either. So how is it that you can have Jesus? Isn't Jesus enough? Yes, Jesus is enough as long as you consume all the things he tells you to consume. What else does he tell us to consume? Well, what did Jesus say in Matthew 4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said that. In fact, it also in Colossians 3, in that passage where Paul tells you to set your minds on the things that are above, you know what he tells you later in that chapter, still speaking of the same thing? He says in verse 16 of Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That not just I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I know that, you know, God said in the beginning, he spoke the world into creation. I know that there's the Gospels and Jesus died. I know that. No, consuming, letting the Word of God be so rich in you that you're studying it, reading it, memorizing it, in it on a constant basis, that it's just your food. It's what you're living on. In fact, Hebrews 2, verse 1 says that we must pay much closer attention to what we have learned, lest we drift away from it. The psalm writer in Psalm 1, verse 2 says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Many people love Jesus, but their minds aren't right because they aren't thinking God's thoughts that are revealed to us in Scripture. And here's why that happens, and we've talked about deception before, that just because you felt something, just because you heard something that you believed was Jesus, under those who are false comes as an angel of light. Understand that his servants and those who are false teachers and all of those voices that are out there, the voices that come from the enemy, they don't come counter to Jesus often. They come trying to sound like Jesus. And the only way we can decipher whether it's Jesus or not, as much as you might like to say, no, I got a handle on God's voice, and when I hear it, I know it's Jesus. Well, how do you know that it's Jesus? We know it by the Scripture. Does this sound like Jesus in the Bible? Does it not sound like Jesus in the Bible? And you don't know that if you're not a student of that book. And so if you want to have mental stability to face with a sound mind the things that you find yourself facing, you must be in Jesus. You must be in the Word of God constantly. But you might say that there are some people that you know who love Jesus and they know a lot about the Scripture, but they're still loopy. Is it all right if I use the word loopy? All right. Maybe I need like a laughter thing that goes across the screen. This is the time to laugh. But there are some people, and I'm sometimes shocked. I really am shocked at times at the ideas and the beliefs and the concepts and the behavior that come out of some people who claim to love Jesus with all their heart and know the Scripture. I hear them quote it to me, and yet I think, how do you believe that and read this book? How do you do that? Sometimes it's because they isolate and they only focus on certain parts of the book. Other times it's because they don't have this third vitamin that we need. The third vitamin is examination. What do I mean by that, and does that come from Scripture? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought. That's not just the thought that comes directly from you. That's every thought you encounter, every idea that you encounter, whether it comes from me or some other preacher, whether it comes from someone on TV or in a movie or in a song, whether it's in a book that you read, wherever you hear it from, a friend tells you it, or again, it just comes to yourself in your own head. Every single thought that you take, you need to dissect that thing. Every single one. You need to think about it. You need to ask yourself, where did that come from? Is this biblical? What is this that's going on there? And if we don't, if we turn that brain off and we don't do this examination of everything we encounter, I'm telling you, things are going to get in there that you never thought would. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, again, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Why? That by testing you may discern what the will of God is. By testing, by examining and questioning everything. There will be some people who will try to tell you that you're less spiritual because you questioned the word that you heard. Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it does not need examined. But it needs examined not by your own opinions and by your own thoughts. It needs examined by running that thing through the Word of God and listening to the Spirit and really thinking through things. It's a shame that today, and this is where we have the positives of technology, where we have weather issues, and many of you can still join us for service, but the negative is that with technology, we often just kind of don't want to think anymore. We want to let the stuff do the thinking for us, and deep thinking is almost a non-existent thing anymore. But it's the person who knows how to think deeply about things that's going to have this sound mind. It's why in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5, before the statement about God giving wisdom, James says this, count it all joy. Now, I'm just always amazed by what he says after count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness. Not that if you go through the ringer that you're going to end up with the good results. And let, you have to choose to let steadfastness produce faith, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Learn by your experiences. Some of us I don't know if you've dealt with this with parenting. You know, you teach a child, you know, if you do that, this is going to be the outcome. And they say, okay, yeah, I get it. I know that's the outcome. And then they do the same thing again. And you think, did you not think through that? And yet we as adults, we do that. We go through it. We make poor choices. We suffer because of them. And what do? The next time we get the opportunity, we make the same poor choices again. We're not letting the trials teach us. We're not paying attention. And so every time you find yourself suffering, the first thing, although you need to be praying and asking for deliverance, one of the top things you need to do is step back and say, what is Jesus showing me with this? There's got to be something. Even if he delivers me from it, there's got to be something I can learn from this. And even if it's not self-inflicted things, there's still ways to learn from your experience. You can walk through the same year with Jesus Christ for 40 years and just repeat year one over and over again. You don't grow unless you let the growth happen inside of you. The statement in James that follows in verses 6 through 8, he says this, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, on first glance, you might think because it's this solid faith, you might picture in your head this just believing that Jesus is going to take care of it without much thought to it. When if you would pay attention to the context, one is the person who lacks this faith is double-minded and unstable. And also note the language, the person is driven and tossed by the wind. Does that sound familiar to you? It's the same language that Paul uses in Ephesians when he talks about the person who's not grounded in Christ and the Word of God, who is falling prey to all different ideas and waves of doctrine. You see, the faith isn't always just believing. The faith is every bit of it. The faith is the beliefs that we have. The James talks about, and this is in context for this book, the doing the works as a result of your faith kind of issue. And so the person who is lacking in faith and unstable is the person who's not consistent in this walk with Jesus. Their ideas aren't consistent. And sometimes we believe one thing on the other end, and we believe the opposite thing on this other side. And we're unstable, we're wishy-washy, we're shaky because we're not consistent in our mind. And we need, and that happens because we don't think about it. Again, we're too compartmentalized. We think over there in that box, and now we're over in this box, not thinking about how it's affecting that box and what it says. And it's amazing how many of us contradict ourselves on a constant basis. And we wonder why we can't make sense of the world, because we're not thinking. We're not being alert. We're not letting God transform us by renewal of our minds. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Think. I know it might not sound spiritual to say that, but think, for goodness sakes. Examine life. Think about what's happening. Reflect. Meditate. That's a biblical idea. Even meditate on the Word of God. Think deeply about the life and the things that you're facing, and then you will be amazed. I'm telling you, if you stop and let things be silent for a while and just listen to God and think, the things that He will reveal to you that will just be astounding on knowing how to face the things that you face. But some of us, we struggle so hard with our trials, and we wonder where God is, because we never stop to listen. We never stop to think and let God bring that renewal. Well, but God should just bring it to me. You know, I just ask God and it just comes. Wouldn't that be great? And sometimes that happens. But most of the time I found in my experience, and when I say, God, give me the deliverance instantaneously, you know what happens? nothing. Well, at least not nothing I see with my eye immediately. Because most of the time, God's more interested in the well-being of your spirit and your soul than he is alleviating all of your problems right now. And he's also more interested in you having a wise, strong outcome on the other end and learning those lessons than you just getting off scot-free. But we're never going to get there. And many of the things that we find ourselves not capable of facing is because we're not allowing this renewal of the mind to take place. Because we just assumed we'd take it in by osmosis. You know, some of you sleep on your Bible at night thinking that the Word of God will just get in you because you're asleep on your Bible. It doesn't work that way. I don't know if you know that. You don't memorize Scripture that way. You don't learn it that way. Fourth vitamin we need. This one's kind of hard to embrace. And that is humble accuracy. Humble accuracy. Why are those two words together? Well, first, Philippians 2, Paul talks about the need to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. And the primary focus of character there is humility. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 3, right after that renewal of the mind statement, Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So does that mean I should think that I'm a lousy person? Not necessarily. He continues, "But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Proverbs 26, 12 says, "Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 is the statement we all know pretty well. "Your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts." Anybody like relish? What does that have to do with what I'm talking about right now? Anybody like relish? You relish, relish. Okay, even Sean's not here, and we still got the pun. If you've ever squeezed it out of a tube, I hate squeezing relish out of a tube. You know why? Because when you're trying to put relish on that hot dog, it's drip, drip, nothing on there, until what finally happens when you get relish? An explosion of relish, and then you have to decide, I'm going to use my finger to move it around, or I'm just going to have a triple dose of relish on that hot dog, because it's the way that thing works. It needs to build up enough pressure for it to shoot out, and once it does, it comes flying out. Did you know humility and security, intellectually and emotionally, works like that bottle of relish? Did you know that? And I see it over and over in my life and in the lives of others. Because you have a moment where you feel like, you know, nothing's coming. It's just dripping out. It's nothing's coming out of here. And you're squeezing with all your might, and you're trying so hard to get into a place of strength and stability. And before you know it, you finally break through. And then it just goes not from feeling insecurity more, but now you're arrogant. Now you think you're amazing because it just squirted all over the place. Very few people actually can do what Paul says in Romans 12:3. Very few people can look at themselves and not see themselves as a villain and an awful, horrible scum of the earth, or to see themselves as more amazing than they actually are. Very few people walk that line of just actually seeing themselves accurately. And that's where we need to be, is to see ourselves accurately. To always just assume that I might be wrong. My opinion here, my thought, even to just admit that it's my opinion is sometimes hard for some of us. But I'm telling you, just like those proverbs tell us, you're going to relish, no pun intended, maybe there is, in foolishness and foolish behavior and foolish outcomes on a regular basis if you always assume that you are in the right place. Does it mean you're in the wrong place? No. But we have to actually listen to others and pay attention and consider that maybe I might be wrong, because believe it or not, you don't know everything. You don't have all the information. You don't have the entire context. When you want to go and confront somebody because you think they're being awful, it's often that you don't know the half of what's happening in their life and why they're acting that way. And while it may be true to some extent what you want to confront them over, perhaps you might be tempted to make adjustments on the way you view it if you only knew. And we have to, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We have to always know that I'm a human being who not only is flawed with sin and all kinds of other issues and desires and passions, but I'm also lacking in so much. There's so much ability, so much intellect, so much knowledge, so much wisdom that we don't have that we have to be mindful of. And I'm telling you, there's more wisdom on the other side of being humble than thinking that you're amazing and you're always right. Which leads us to the fifth vitamin, and that is listening to others. It's hard sometimes to listen. Isn't it hard when somebody tells you you're wrong and you realize you are on the inside? Isn't it hard to admit that? Isn't it hard to still like that guy who told you and pointed that out to you? And sometimes we almost just want to not listen to that advice just because somebody else told us to. There's this rebellious nature to us, or, you know, and sometimes we don't even notice the emotion that's happening there, that we're trying to make them wrong somehow because of our emotions and because of the way this worked out, when in reality the person's right if we can only get ourselves to listen. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9, and it's intriguing. I didn't ever notice the connection from verse 8 to verse 9 before. Verse 8, many of us know, and Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is what your mind should be on. But it never dawned on me until this week when I read the next verse, which says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And then the God of peace will be with you. These excellent things that we think of are often to be coming from watching the example that we see those in other people around us. Listening to their example, listening to their guidance, listening to their advice, and assuming that I might, even if this is where it's hard, even if the other person has less Bible knowledge than you, even if the other person is weaker than you, even if the other person is loopy, like I've been saying, did you know that God can make the truth come out of the mouth of someone who's loopy? And God can make the wisdom of God come out of the mouth of a donkey, can he not? So it doesn't matter where it's coming from per se, it's what's coming out of the mouth. And every thought that comes, I need to actually think about it, and dwell upon it, and examine it, and listen to others. Except, I need to avoid the bad voices, though. Again, in Psalm 1, verse 1, the psalm writer said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So there's some people that once you figure out what they're saying is garbage, you need to stop listening. And that's some of our problem, is some of us, we just like what we're hearing too much, that once we figure out it's garbage, we still listen to it. Sometimes the reason why you're unstable and you're wrestling and you're having a hard time with life is because you're listening to garbage advice and acting on it. Well, how do I know what's garbage advice and what's not? First of all, you need to make sure that you're getting a lot of counsel from good, godly, wise counsel. But secondly, you also need to be in the Word and examining those things on a constant basis and listening to the voice of God and not your feelings. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's Jesus. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's Jesus. If it's biblical, it's Jesus, if it truly is. Last one, and again, this one does not seem so spiritual, but it is. And that is the vitamin of study. Not just studying scripture, but just being knowledgeable in general. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 18 verse 15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Now I want to note here that the writer of Proverbs, predominantly Solomon, he is not actually hardly ever writing anything from other places in Scripture. While he is writing inspired Scripture, the bulk of what he's doing is people watching. Have you ever read Proverbs before? The bulk of what he is doing is saying, I have observed the ways of such and such a person, and I have seen this. He's watching and gaining insight from the things that he's paying attention to and learning. Today, we have other aspects to gain that information just instead of just by person to person, though we can still get it that way. We can get it in the form of books. We can get it from the internet. Again, this is the last vitamin because all the others have to come before this one. Because in order for me to not gain knowledge that's garbage, I have to be able to have the right filters. Note in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, though, that the possibility of having a lot of learning does not mean that you understand it correctly. Paul says, always people that are always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Just because you know a lot doesn't mean you're right. I love getting in a debate with someone who I know that they think they're right because they have more information than I do. And maybe they are. I mean, I have to be humble to admit they have more information than me. But have you ever had someone who was an expert in something or just had a lot of knowledge in something and what they were telling you still didn't seem to jive? Didn't seem to make sense? And that's because, like I said last week, the renewal of the mind, the godly, Christ-like, powerful, sound mind is not anything to do with an IQ score. And really, that's how we measure IQ today, is how much information you can spit out. That doesn't mean that you have intellectual capacity. It just means you can retain information. And so we have to remember that I could be studying and studying and studying and studying, and just like with the humility thing, I could still be wrong in the assessment I'm making of the information that's before me. So do you want a sound mind? It takes work. I would love to say that, again, you could just suck it in by osmosis, that you could just hang out with the right people and you'll just suck it in, but that's not how it works. If you want to have a sound mind and be able to stably face all the things that life throws, and listen, life throws garbage at us all the time. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Do you ever feel like it just keeps coming? You get this thing, comes flying at you, and you're trying to figure out how to adjust and react to it and deal with it, and you finally get over that issue, and then before you know it, you stand up and comes the next thing. And then you're trying to tackle that, and you're halfway through, maybe possibly seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, and you're not even out yet, and then another thing comes. And that's just the way life is, isn't it? As much as we would love to figure out maybe the pathway, maybe the message should have been this morning, the six vitamins you need to take to never have any problems. But you and I both would be denying reality if we tried to go down that road. And while we can try to, again, alleviate different things, and there's some things that are self-inflicted, and we can deal with those things and tend those to those things and lessen certain things, the reality is, in this world, you will always have trials, tribulations, and sufferings. And so if you want a sound mind, instead of wishing it, do you want that? You need to learn how to face it with a strong, renewed mind. Do you want that this morning? Do you think you are stable in your mind this morning? Then what's the fruit of the Spirit look like in your life? Does the fruit of the Spirit in your life demonstrate a mind that is renewed? Do you think that you are in a right place with Jesus? What does the fruit of the Spirit look like in your life? Does it demonstrate a mind that's renewed? Do you think that you are smart, knowledgeable of Scripture, and spiritually strong? What does the fruit of the Spirit look like in your life? Doesn't matter how much prophecy you state. It doesn't matter how much you can discern and how powerful of faith that you have that you can pray healing on others. It does not matter if you give a bunch of money away and you're such a charitable person. If you don't have the right stuff, what does Paul say? If you do not have love, it's nothing. Sometimes I think we're looking at the wrong things. Whether or not I truly have a renewed mind, sound, stable in all its ways, and able to walk through all the obstacles and challenges and trials in this life, whether or not I'm capable of doing that is demonstrated by the love and the fruit of the Spirit that's in my life. It's demonstrated also by, as we say, that God gives wisdom to those who ask, what does his wisdom look like? James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Do you look like that? If not, then maybe some of us need to come down to this altar as they lead us. Maybe at home you need to kneel by your couch or your bed, and let's get some things right in our minds. Instead of just waiting for Jesus to take care of it, let's begin to come forward and say, you know what, I'm just going to start trusting you and having the faith to do the things that you've called me to do. Let's seek him this morning.
good and gracious King. And I will give to you my burdens. And as you give to me your strength, come and fill me with your as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. That you would see me as your child and as your friend. Hallelujah. Safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory.
Ask Tiffany to come if she would. She had asked if she could share a testimony, and of course I've been asking and inviting you to do that. And she lives in the very populous state of Wyoming. And she's heading back this week, right? This week. Today she's heading back. So this was the opportunity for her to be able to share that if we were going to allow that. And she has a testimony of, and we've talked about how in the Bible, mind and heart sometimes is used interchangeably. It's the core of who you are, the inside. And she has a testimony of how she had some things going on the inside and how Jesus helped her and delivered her from that. You could take that off to share.
Hi, my name's Tiffany, and I basically grew up in this church, as most of you probably have known me since I was a wee bit. But I remember always coming to church and doing VBS and church camp and youth conferences and stuff, and I just never felt ready to get baptized. I just knew it wasn't time yet. Like you said, I live in Wyoming now. I work, and December 3rd, 2019, I will always remember that day. It's a day before my birthday, and that was a very hard day for me. I woke up, and I didn't want to live anymore. And if I wasn't crying that day, or wasn't sleeping that day, or having suicidal thoughts that day, it was just kind of a little vicious cycle that day. And I remember laying in bed with my dog at the time, and I just kept reminding myself, stay in this bed. Do not get up. Stay in this bed. you will be fine. And I did not want the next day to come, my birthday. I did not want it to come. And I was very adamant it wasn't coming. And somehow I fell asleep and I woke up on my birthday. And for a second, I was relieved. And I was like, oh, I'm alive. And then I was like, crap, now what? Because that was not my plan yesterday. So I just kind of got up and got myself together and went to work. And everyone was like, happy birthday. And I was just bawling my eyes out because nobody knew how I felt yesterday about this day. And my one friend, me, pulled me into one of our rooms and she just said, what's wrong? And I just gave in and I told her and I just blankly said, I don't want to live anymore. I was like, if I had my way yesterday, I would not be standing in front of you. And she took me down to the emergency room because I work in a hospital. And I got treatment and help. I went upstairs and was there 5 days for, got treatment and did therapy. And I was put on medicine for depression and anxiety. And so that was in December. So all the way up to October, I've been going to therapy, been on medicine. And I found a church out there that I really like, and I went that one day to church, and the message that the pastor gave us was, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And I kind of laughed and looked up and was like, okay, I get the message. Thanks, God. And I signed up to get baptized, and a couple weeks later, I got baptized, and it felt right. I knew it was time. And it's one of those things that this is my story. And that was rock bottom for me. And I realized that was rock bottom for me that night. And I told myself I will never go back to that. And it's something nobody should have to feel like, of you have to choose between life and death. And thankfully, I chose life. And I realized God was with me that night, and he wasn't going to let anything happen to me. And I thank him every day now because I woke up, and I actually came across a quote that is my new life motto, is you have a purpose and you are loved. And I tell myself every day that, and I actually have a tattoo on my arm of it, and it just, I realize I do have a purpose, and I'm loved. I may not know what my purpose is in life. Nobody does, but I'm here for a reason. God kept me here for a reason, and I thank him every day for that. And just like the song we sang, My Testimony, and he was talking about mental stability, I was sitting in the pew like, okay, God, thanks. Like, I get the message. Like, I'm supposed to be here. But I felt like I had to share my story because most of you have seen me since I was a little girl, and for me to stand up in front of you and tell you guys that God saved my life, and I'm here to tell that every day, so.
Tiffany, thank you for sharing that with us, and if you aren't aware, she's Tammy Buckley's daughter, and the family lost Mark recently. Mark Buckley passed away, and they're in the midst of crisis moment, and we want to pray with them. I told Tammy I wouldn't pull her up in front of everybody, so I'm not going to do that, but I'd like for us to pray for them, for the family, that God would do a great work in them. So if you could just, you are going to come. okay, you can come up here. So if you could extend your hand to them, and we're going to believe just like in Tiffany's life, and you know what's amazing is how often people around us can all look like everything's fine on the outside, but they're falling apart on the inside. And there was Tiffany that, other than the rock bottom moment where a coworker finally saw that in her, apart from that, nobody could see that on the outside, that someone was hurting. And we need to pray that God helps us to see those things and to be able to respond to those things. And Tammy right now is hurting, and rightfully so. You lose a husband, and that's rough. But we're going to believe that just like what happened in Tiffany's life, This is going to be a moment, a rock bottom moment, that God's going to bring such soundness and stability and freedom in Tammy's life like he has in her daughter's. Amen. So, Lord, we just ask for the Bucklews, Lord, for Tammy especially, that you would just give her an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit in her life, and that you would give her the strength to do the things that you call her to do. Things that we've talked about this morning, anything else, that as she begins to go into your word and live by that word and truly live by faith, may you give her the strength to walk in that, to be that, to do those things. And may you constantly move mightily in her life. And may she be able to find, like Tiffany said, purpose and the working of the Spirit in her life, and the joy of the Lord and the peace that surpasses all understanding. May you let that fill her through and through. And not only Tammy, but her entire family, Lord, do an amazing work. And thank you for the things that you have been doing. And we ask again for more of it, for your glory, so that one day Tammy's going to stand before a church and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you delivered me and I had my day, and now 10 years, 15 years, I can say that you've given me such soundness and stability. May that be what comes to pass, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies, so much for sharing with us. Love you. Well, you could stand with us as we're going to conclude this morning. And again, offering plates are in the back as you leave, as the Lord leads you to give. Thank you for doing that. You can do so when you leave online. Those of you that are joining us that way, you can give online as well. And next week, I know I said I wasn't going to say it, but I will say it. Next week, we're going to talk about time management. How do I get to where I'm not always so strapped for time? Why? So that I can have freedom to do the things that God wants me to do instead of just living, making it to get by, but actually having the time to do God's work. Amen? So, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done this morning, and we ask that you would continue to be at work in us, doing great things. Lord, let it not just be a Sunday thing. May it be an everyday thing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. See you next week.
Water, you turn.